As you read this solemn chapter, you find that everything has now changed for Adam. The moment he took the forbidden fruit, his world turned upside down. Just previously, Adam had stood as the pinnacle, the very climax of God's creation. He was the one who was formed in the image of God. God had delighted in all of his creation, but once he made man, God was able to say, "It is very good, very good." He was the one whom God most delighted in. He had walked with his God in the garden. He had endured pure fellowship and communion with the Most High. But now all of that was gone. A dramatic change has taken place. You see, the moment that Adam took of that fruit, sin came in, and sin spoiled everything for Adam. He had been in perfect happiness, but now we find him in misery. He had been content without fear or shame in the garden, and now he is scrambling to sew some fig leaves together to cover his nakedness. Only moments before this incident, Adam would have rejoiced to hear the sound of his God coming into the garden. He would have heard the noise of the Lord walking through the garden, and he would have run to the Lord to enjoy sweet communion with him, full of joy to stand in the presence of God. Instead, we find him running to hide, running to the bushes perhaps. Now he is afraid of his God. There he was, hiding from his Maker. And he hears this question that we have in verse 9. God speaks and he says, "Where art thou? Where art thou, Adam?" Do you know, this is the first question which is asked by the Lord in Scripture. It is this question that I want to put to you tonight. It's a question that God asked to Adam in the garden. It is a question that God still asks to you and to me today. God's first question. God's first question. Where art thou? Now, first of all, I want you to notice here that this is a personal question. It is a personal question. We read in the text in verse 9 that the Lord God called unto Adam, to him, to Adam, and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Not, "Where is Eve?" "Where art thou?" Now, this question didn't come to Adam's ears as some general utterance. When Adam heard it, he was in no doubt whatsoever, "God is speaking to me. I am the man addressed." He couldn't look around to others and say, "I think the question is for that individual or that individual." No, there he was in hiding, just him and his wife. There was no one else to point the finger at. God was asking a question, and Adam knew, here's a question that's for me. It's for me. God is asking me. Now, I want to put it to you tonight that although God was asking Adam that day and he was asking him personally, yet tonight he asks you and he asks me this very same question, and he asks us personally. He comes and he says to you, "Where art thou? Where are you? Where are you in relation to me? Where are you in relation to Christ? Where art thou?" As we start to look at this question, therefore, don't be thinking that you can point to the one in front of you or the one beside you and say, "Here's a question for them." And child of God, don't you be doing this either. Don't you be saying, "Oh, here's a question for that unsaved person over there." Here's a question for you. And here's a question for me. God speaks and he says, "Where art thou?" And God was asking Adam personally. And therefore, Adam himself, personally, had to give an answer. He didn't have someone to stand in for him. He had no lawyer to speak and make his case. He was asked personally, and he must answer personally. And tonight, As God asks you, and as God asks me, we have to give our own answer. I have to give my answer to God where I am with him. You have to give your answer. Where art thou? Where art thou? It's a personal question. Notice also that it is, I'm going to call it an unnecessary question. Now, in some sense it is necessary, but I'll explain what I mean by this. An unnecessary question. And what I mean is that when God asks this question, he didn't need to find out anything new. You think of it. God is the infinite one, infinite in might, infinite in his power, infinite in knowledge. The Lord knows all things. Before the Lord ever spoke in that day, he knew. He knew precisely where Adam was. He knew precisely the state of Adam's heart. He knew. The Lord was not walking through the garden that day, looking under rocks and behind bushes to see if Adam was hiding somewhere. Where are you, Adam? You've gone missing. No, he wasn't panicking as to where Adam had gotten to. The Lord knew where Adam was. He knew full well the condition that Adam had gotten himself into. He knew the answer before the question ever came. Therefore, Adam could not have come to the Lord that day and given a false answer. He could not approach the Lord and say, you know, I was just over there doing some business. I was just tidying up that hedge or doing something else. There's nothing to worry about here. Don't be worrying. Everything's well. Adam couldn't come to the Lord and speak like this. The Lord knew the state of Adam's heart before he ever asked the question. Now, the same is true for you tonight. We come into this place and God knows your heart. As you think about this question and as you look to answer it before God, where art thou? Where are you with the Lord? You may well be tempted to shirk the issue. Perhaps it's the case in your own heart where you sit. You know that things aren't right. And yet perhaps you will tell yourself that things are well with you and try and tell yourself that all's okay, or you'll sort it out later, or things are fine, don't be panicking. Maybe you'll answer God within yourself and you will say that things are fine. Now that's well and good, but I tell you this, if that's not the truth, if it's the case that things are not fine with you, if it's the case that you are not right with God tonight, if it's the case that you are not walking in fellowship with Christ tonight, you might fool yourself, but you will not fool God. It is an unnecessary question. God knows the answer before you give it. The Lord knows exactly where you are with him. And you know the same will be true at the judgment seat. One day, whenever it is, you will have to stand and give account to your Maker for your life. If you aren't saved in that day, if you're not resting in Christ, if you're not saved by his grace through his finished work, there will be no way to talk yourself out of trouble. It won't matter what impressive answer you can come up with. The Lord will know the state of things before you open your mouth. He will know how you stand. He will know how you stand in the sight of his law. He will know the judgment that has to be administered. It would therefore be better for you tonight to be truthful with the Lord, would it not? To be truthful with yourself. And as this question comes to your soul this evening, be honest with God. At the very least, be honest with yourself, and your answer will reveal those things that need to be addressed in your heart. Friend who is backslidden, who is cold at heart, who has drifted from the Lord, oh, would it not be a good thing for you to address this? To come and face the problem, to come and to recognize your need, to recognize that you are today at something of a distance? Unsaved friend, would it not be the case that it would be good for you to today, while there is grace shown, to recognize that you are a stranger, cut off from God, cut off from grace? Would it not be good to answer this question within your heart? Honestly, and deal with the issue. Where art thou? It's a personal question. And in terms of the mind of God, the understanding of God, it is an unnecessary question. I suggest to you also that it is a searching question. A searching question. We read that the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where? Where art thou? Where?" Now we've thought about the fact that you need to answer this question and you need to answer it honestly. Well, what is the question actually asking? There was Adam. He was in the garden, perhaps hiding in some bush. I don't know where he was, behind a rock maybe. And this question comes to him, "Where art thou?" Wherever he was hiding from the Lord. But the Lord wasn't just asking where Adam was hiding. The Lord knew where Adam was hiding. He knew it already. The Lord was asking a much more searching question. The Lord was asking him about the state of his heart. Now, there are some commentators, I'm inclined to agree with them, by the way, and they see these words coming in almost a mournful voice from the Lord. It's as if the Lord is saying, "Oh, Adam, what have you done? What have you done to yourself? Where has sin brought you? Oh, Adam, you were magnificent. You were the very pinnacle of my creation. You were favored by me. You were loved by me. You walked with me. You enjoyed me. Where have you fallen to, O Adam? Where have you fallen to? Where art thou? Where art thou?" You see, God's question came not simply to find out where Adam was physically. God's question came so as to challenge Adam concerning the state of his heart. God was asking him to search his heart. God was asking him to come to terms with what he had done. God was asking him to consider his ways. And as God puts this question to you tonight, remember, it is a question that you have to answer. You have to answer personally and truthfully. God is asking not whether you're found in church tonight or not. The Lord is asking you to search your heart. He is asking you to consider your ways. Child of God, Christian, how is it with you? Yes, you're saved. We rejoice in the salvation of God. We rejoice in that. But how is your walk with the Lord? How are you today? Where art thou with the Lord? Are you still going on with him the way you once did? Are you still enjoying him as once you enjoyed him? Or is it the case that you have allowed some sin to come in to hinder that blessed communion? Is it the case that you have allowed your heart to grow cold to the Lord? Are you losing out with God tonight? Are you walking with him? Yes, but at a distance. At a distance. Where art thou? God says, "Where art thou? Consider your ways. Remember the joy that you once had. Would you not return and find this joy in fellowship once again, child of God? Where art thou?" And you who are not saved tonight, you who do not know Christ, you're not resting in him, your faith is not fixed firmly upon his finished work, God says to you, "Where art thou? Consider your ways. Where are you with me? Is it not the case if you consider things rightly, you are there as the lost sheep in those dark hills, far from the shepherd, far from his fold, far from his care? Is it not the case that you are alone without the Lord? Is it not the case that you are exposed to danger, exposed to the judgment of God? Is it not the case that you are headed the wrong direction? You're headed to destruction and not to life everlasting." God asks you tonight, where are you? Analyze it. Think of it. Where are you? The Lord would have you. He would bring you close to himself. He would save you. He would take you in. He would walk with you. He would lead you. He would direct your steps. But where are you tonight? Is it the case that you're in the wilderness with God? Is it the case that tonight finds you cut off at a distance, separated? Where are you? You have the possibility of drawing near to the Lord tonight and receiving his salvation. The Lord stands and he offers this to you. Call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. It's the teaching of Scripture. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. You could be saved tonight. You could have your sin dealt with, that sin that separates between you and your God, that sin that keeps you at a distance. You can have it dealt with. You can have it dealt with tonight because Jesus Christ went to the cross to deal with sin, to deal with your sin if you'll come, to put it away, to carry it away into the wilderness far from you, to take it from you as far as the east is from the west. Christ went to Calvary to remove this breach of the peace between God and man, between God and your heart. And tonight the Lord calls you to come in simple faith. You don't need to do the work. You don't need to find your way back to God by yourself. You don't need to work out where the shepherd is and go as that lone sheep and find him. No, he has come seeking you. He has come seeking you. Christ did it at Calvary. All that's asked is look unto Christ by faith, lean upon him, rest in his work. He will take you in. He will give you this joy of peace and fellowship, communion with God, this joy of life everlasting. What a difference it makes to know where you are with God, to know that things are well, to know that you're with the Lord. God asks again, where art thou tonight? Where art thou? It's a personal question. It is an unnecessary question in the mind of God. It is a searching question. I suggest to you as well that it is a loving question. This question is a loving question. When the Lord came to Adam and Eve that day, he came with a question. A question that challenged them. When they heard his voice in the garden, they were afraid. They were afraid. They had just sinned against the Lord. He is the Holy One, the one with holy eyes who cannot look upon iniquity. They feared him that day. It was an uncomfortable situation for them to be in. It was unpleasant for Adam to stand before the Lord that day and answer this question. But while that is true, the Lord came that day in love. And he asked this question with a spirit of love and mercy. I'll explain this to you. When you read through the account in Genesis chapter 3, you find that the Lord asked Adam a number of questions. We have one in verse 9, where art thou? In verse 11, he says to Adam, who told thee that thou wast naked? He asks him some questions. Then he turns to Eve and he asks her a question. He has a question for Eve as well. What is this that thou hast done? He comes with a question. But notice verse 14. Having turned to Adam and asked questions of Adam, having turned to Eve and asked questions of Eve, he now turns to the serpent, to Satan himself. But there's no question. He doesn't ask a question to the devil. He's not asking Satan, why have you done this? What have you done? Where are you? No. Instead of questioning, the Lord turns to the serpent with pure judgment. There's no question asked. There's no possibility of the wicked one answering and making clear his case before God. No, just judgment. Just judgment. The Lord God said unto the serpent, verse 14, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. Thou art cursed. There was no love shown to the serpent. Satan was not going to receive mercy from the Lord. Therefore, questions were not needed. There's no point asking him a question. God was just going to judge him for what he had done. You see, the purpose in these questions, the purpose behind the Lord asking Adam, "Where art thou?" The question was not to find out some new information. That wasn't the reason. The purpose was that God was asking the question so as to show Adam and Eve the error of their way, so that they might repent, so that they might believe the gospel which he presents to them, just in verse 15, putting enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed, that is the seed of the woman, Christ himself, and her seed, the seed of the woman. It shall bruise thy head, thou shalt bruise his heel. God was asking these questions to set forth before their mind their need of a Savior, to emphasize to them their need of Christ. He was asking these questions, these uncomfortable questions, in mercy. And these questions were uncomfortable. It was not pleasant for Adam to search his own heart and to think of how far he had fallen. But God was asking in love, because the very thing that Adam needed that day was to search his heart and to see his need of a Savior. Now, perhaps tonight you know that the Lord is dealing with you. I can't tell. I can't see your heart. But perhaps tonight you know the Lord is speaking to me. He is dealing with me. I tell you, that is not my voice that is challenging you. I cannot give you one anxious thought, Scripture tells me. God is dealing with you. God is speaking to your heart. If that's the case, if the Lord is addressing you in this manner tonight, I imagine that you are uncomfortable. God's word has come like a sharp knife, peeling back all the defenses and exposing you. It's uncomfortable. It's unpleasant. It's not nice to face. But God is dealing with you in love. The very fact that he is coming and speaking a word to your heart, perhaps reproving you, making you feel that discomfort, is because he is challenging you to consider your ways, and he is setting before you the gospel. He is showing you that there is a remedy for your condition. He is urging you to look unto Christ and be saved. God is dealing with you in love. Therefore, do not try to escape this question, because it is unpleasant. Do not try to put it off to another day. The Lord is showing you love and mercy in dealing with your heart tonight. He is showing great love. Do not presume on experiencing that some other time. Oh, while the Lord speaks and asks questions of your soul tonight, put the matter right while God still speaks. Put the matter right. Do not despise his question. He asks so that you might consider your ways and come and trust in Christ. Or you who are perhaps backslidden in heart, to you the Lord is asking in love. Same principle, he's asking in love so that you might see the foolishness of your backslidings and return to his embrace. God is asking this question in love. Therefore, if he is speaking to your heart tonight, do not despise his loving rebuke. Rather, be honest. Submit to his call. Allow yourself to be laid bare by the word of God. Come unto him as you are. That's all you need. Come as you are. And through the provision of Christ at Calvary, when he laid down his life there upon the cross and shed his precious blood, you can be made right with the Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin, and he can make things right between you and your God. Do not despise this question. Come unto Christ tonight by faith, and you will be made whole. Whole. Where art thou? Where art thou tonight? This is a personal question. It is an unnecessary question. It is a searching question. It is a loving question. Finally, I note to you that this is a demanding question. It's a demanding question. And you see that whenever you think about the setting of the question. The Lord was walking through the garden, and we read in verse 8 that when Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, that Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They hid themselves. We've just read in verse 8 that they've gone into hiding. They were out in the open, then they heard the Lord approaching, and they went into hiding. Now, if you think of that setting, suppose you were to go into hiding, knowing that someone was approaching you. Maybe if you're playing hide and seek in the house, and I remember doing it as a child, and you go and hide behind the chair, perhaps, and your sibling, your brother, your friend comes to find you. Well, you've hidden yourself. If they come into the room and shout out, "Where are you?" You're not going to answer. You're going to keep your mouth shut. You're going to be quiet. You don't want to let on where you are. The very fact that you've gone into hiding was to escape them, to avoid them. Well, Adam goes into hiding here. And you would expect, when he hears this question, you would expect him to keep quiet. He was in hiding. He had gone there to escape questions like this, to escape the awkward questions. "Adam, keep quiet. Keep your voice down. Maybe God will pass on by and you will avoid this." That's what you would expect. But that's not what happened. You see, Adam goes into hiding in verse 8, but we read in verse 9, "The Lord God called unto Adam, said unto him, Where art thou?" And in verse 10, Adam speaks. You would expect him to be quiet, but he speaks. He says, "I heard thy voice in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He speaks. You see, when Adam heard this question, it was a demanding question. It demanded a response. It came in the authority of God Most High. And Adam could not ignore it. He was compelled to answer. He had no choice in the matter. He could not remain in hiding. He had to answer. "Where art thou?" And he can't keep quiet. He must answer God's question. The question demands a response. Here was a question that he could not avoid. Now, perhaps tonight you would like to avoid this question. Let's face it, if you're honest with yourself, I imagine for most of us, certainly at different times in our lives, we face this question, and it is uncomfortable. The best child of God is prone to times of coldness of heart, and when that comes, it can be uncomfortable to deal with this. For you who are unsaved, it is uncomfortable to deal with this, to hear God question your soul, "Where art thou with me? Where are you?" Well, you might find, out of the fact that this is uncomfortable, that you're tempted to put it off. And perhaps tonight you can put off this question. Perhaps you can close your mind to it and look to go out the door again. Try as best you can to ignore things. But God's question demands an answer. I tell you this, even if you can go from this place refusing to answer that question, refusing to heed the voice of God, refusing to address the matter that he has put before you, even if you can manage that now, the day will come at the judgment when you cannot escape this question. It is a demanding question. It must be answered, and at the judgment, you will answer. You will give account. Can I urge you, therefore, as this question comes to your soul, do not delay. Do not delay your answer until the judgment day. In that day, things will be too late if your answer is not good. In that day, it will be too late. The opportunity for grace will have passed you by. Better to take this loving, gracious question, to answer it now, to see your need, to see the need of your soul, to see your need of a Savior, and to put the matter right while you're in the day of grace, while the gospel is still extended to your soul. Better to put the matter right now. Worse to delay and at the judgment be lost. God's answer demands a response. Where art thou? It must be answered. Where art thou? What is your answer? Where are you with the Lord tonight? How are things with your soul? Are you walking with God? Are you enjoying Him? Or are you separated from Him? Are you at a distance? How are things with your soul? As God comes to you tonight, wherever you are, and He asks this question of you, where art thou? He is asking you personally. Not the person in front, not the person to your side, He is asking you. He already knows the true answer. He is asking so that you might come to terms with the state of your heart. His question searches you out. Where do you stand in relation to the Lord tonight? Whether you are respectable in society or not, whether you are faithful in church attendance or not, whether you are generous in charity or not, whether you are thought well of in this place or not, it matters little. Where art thou? Where are you in relation to the Lord? In relation to Jesus Christ? Are you saved in Christ tonight, walking in fellowship with your God? Or are you still at a distance? The Lord's question comes in love. Rather than pour out judgment upon you as He could do, even now, He comes in love once more. He comes with this loving question to challenge your soul. He comes once more to give you this blessed opportunity to repent and believe the gospel. And ultimately, the question demands a response. You must answer. Where art thou? Where art thou? May God bless His word to our hearts this evening. Amen. Amen.